was quite a rainy morning in Yerushalayim, or the whole night. It was really pouring, something terrible. I mean, I like to say these things at the beginning of the tape just to give people a flavor of what's going on. Where a lot of the traffic was pretty bad. It was difficult getting out of Har Nof. All the main streets were flooded. We haven't seen flooding like this in Yerushalayim since the Dor HaMabul. And let's hope that maybe the Rebbeinu Shem was sending us a little bracha over there to ease the water shortage in the country. All right. Last week we learned chapter Yud Gimel, and we even began the beginning of Yud Dalet. Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet are both the Masa Bavel. They are the prophecy of what will ultimately happen to Bavel. Now, Yeshayahu is talking about this 150 years, was probably before Bavel has even appeared on the world scene. But he already foresees what is going to happen to Bavel, their downfall and their destruction. In chapters 8, 9, 10, we heard of the downfall of Ashur, Sanhedrin, at the gates of Yerushalayim. And we're going to hear again about that in chapters 36 and 37. Here we have two chapters that deal with Bavel. There are two very big chapters in Yirmiyahu that deal with Bavel. A number of the Trei Asar Nevi'im deal with Bavel. And what's amazing about these two chapters is not only what it says about Bavel, and that it is true of Achayom Hazeh, but they are very descriptive chapters. The portrayals, the poetic portrayals of scenes are so powerful. At the beginning of the chapter, it talks about the sounds of an army gathering. You can hear the hoofbeats upon the hills. And who's gathering? A coalition of nations. Who is the commander-in-chief of the forces of this mighty army? Is God himself, because he's going out to wage war against Bavel. And he describes how Bavel is going to be gripped with fear and with terror. They're going to become weak. They're going to have the pains of labor. A day that is full of God's anger and cruel is going to come upon them. It will seem as though the very heavens themselves are waging war against them. And it's first of all, the haughtiness, the pride, the conceit of Bavel, their absolute cruelty. And it's going to continue. The amazing description is going to continue in chapter 14. We stopped on Pasuk 20, Lo Teshev LaNetzach. She will never be inhabited again. So somebody asked, was it you, Queenie, who asked? What about Baghdad? Somebody asked, what do you mean there's a Baghdad today? But the ruins of ancient Babylon are some 17 kilometers outside of Baghdad. It's nothing more than sand and whatever remains there are. Lo Teshev LaNetzach. Look at that Pasuk 20 in chapter 13. She will never be inhabited into eternity below Tishko. Nobody will dwell there ador vador until the end of all generations. Velo Yahel Sham Arabi, an Arab is not going to pitch his tent there. Veroim lo yarbitsu sham, and shepherds are not going to lead their sheep to lie down over there. And instead, who is going to inhabit the great palaces of Bavel? Who will lie down there? Tzim and Ochim. There are all sorts of translations as to what they are. We're talking about all sorts of animals, jackals, ostriches, owls, animals of the night. And then chapter 14, let's begin with the beginning of chapter 14. All of this is going to happen because God is going to have great mercy upon Yaakov, and he is going to choose Israel. he is going to choose Israel again. V'hinicham al admasam, and he will leave them, bring them, and leave them upon their land. V'nilva hager aleihem, and the ger is going to join them. V'nispechu al beit Yaakov, and they will become additions to the house of Yaakov. There is a very fascinating radak over here. The radak says the following. When they came back from Bavel, there were no other peoples who joined them. It seems that we're talking now that God has mercy upon his people, and therefore he brings the destruction of Bavel, because God wants to put his people back upon his land. And the ger will accompany them, and they will join with the house of Yaakov. So he says the following, I'll be reading from the Radak. V'nilva ha-ger aleihem, the ger will join them, yitchavrun gerim aleihem. Gerim are going to join with them. Ki b'churban bavel tiyet shu'atam. Because with the destruction of Bavel, this is salvation for them as well. Ki yodu, and why are they going to join the Jewish people? Why will they want to become part of us? Because they will understand that the destruction of Bavel came not only because of what Bavel did to all the nations of the ancient world, but most important, they will realize that the destruction of Bavel comes because of what they did to the Jewish people. Because Bavel was the reason of the Churban. Bavel was destroyed because they were bad to the Jewish people more than is necessary. They should not have treated them that way. And the fact is that they realized this is quite evident, because who takes over from Bavel? Who brings down Bavel? Paras and Madai. Koresh, king of the Persians, is the one who makes the great proclamation at the end of Sefer Divrei Hayamim, where he says, God has given all of the kingdoms of the world in my hand, and he has commanded me to build a house unto him in Jerusalem, and therefore he gives permission for any Jew who wants to return. V'Hashem imo v'yal, those are the famous last four words of Tanakh. God may be with him and go up. That means the nations of the world realized that the destruction of Bavel was because of the evil that they had done to the Jewish people. They had done evil to a lot of people. I don't know, is it possible to say that there was a moment in time at which nations of the world thought that the great crime of Germany was what it did to the Jewish people, and that ultimately brought about their destruction? If there are some who felt that or realized that, the Navi here is saying that there were Gedim, people who joined the Jewish people because they realized that the destruction of Bavel was a direct result of the cruelty and the inhuman way in which they treated the Jewish people. And we see it that Koresh in fact said that. He sees the God of Israel as the one who is behind all of these events. V'amar, and yes, the Radak quotes the words of Koresh, where he says, Mi b'chem b'chol amo, who is there from the nation of God, v'ya'al, and let him go up. The only thing he says, in the psukim, we don't see anything, any evidence of Gedim who joined the Jewish people when they came out from Bavel. Where were they? The Gedim shenit gairu oz balotami Bavel, lo ra'inu zebekatur. We don't see that in the pasuk. Now he also says that what's said in pasuk 2 in chapter 14, the next pasuk, ulekachum amim vehebiyum el mekomam, nations will take them and bring them to their place. Nations are going to assist Jews in coming home. We didn't see that at all during the return of Jews from Bavel. But you know what we do find? Avo Matzonu, we find in Ezra and Nehemiah we are told, Shehoyu lehem sotnim rabim bibinyan Yerushalayim. There were many who despised them and hated them and stood in the way of the construction of Yerushalayim. You know what he's asking? When were these psukim fulfilled? These psukim seem to be talking about the downfall of Babel and the return of Jews from Babel. We have no evidence that Gavin joined them en masse to go with them. We have no evidence that the nations of the world brought them home. So what's the pasuk talking about? So he says, Lefichach, therefore, Hanachon be'inai, what is correct in my eyes, Ki zeh pasuk yitparesh lishnei panim. The pasuk is talking of two separate and distinct returns of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. One is Ki yirachem Hashem et Yaakov, and the second is Ubochar od b'Yisrael. There will be an act of mercy for Yaakov. The act of mercy for Yaakov is Jews coming back from Babel. Atov v'golos Babel yirachem eleim now. He's talking at the time that the Navi seems to be talking about. At the exile of Babel, Yerachem Aleihem, God will have mercy upon them. V'yotziyim migalutam, he will take them out of their exile. But there's going to be another return. U'bochar od b'Yisrael. There's going to come a time when God is going to choose Israel again. Or even when they come that time, there will be the Ger who will join with them, and there will be the assistance of many nations in their return. Could it mean the vote in the United Nations? Could it be those nations that sold arms to the fledgling state of Israel? So he says, Uvacharod b'Yisrael b'mei ha-Mashiach, the days of Mashiach, v'oz nilvu ha-gerimam, the ger will join them. As it says, v'nilvu, there's another pasuk in Manasseh that says, v'nilvu goyim rabim al Hashem b'yom ahu, and many nations will join God on that day. V'kama psukim morim al zehu inyan b'yat ha-Mashiach b'divrei ha-Nevi'im. Says there are many psukim that tell us that there is going to be another return, when Jews will come back in a way that will be completely different from the way in which they returned at the time of Golos Babel. The Radak, first of all, is important, because the Radak has asked the questions that have to be asked in these two psukim. We're talking about Jews returning from Babel, and what it says over here simply didn't happen then, so how are we to understand it? And second, it all fits in with everything that we had learned that the Malbim and Rashi had said earlier, that beginning there in chapter 11, Pasuk 11, we were already talking about a return of Jews when they will return to an independent state, a completely different kind of return. So therefore the Radak says, in the days of Babel, Ki Yirachem Hashem et Yaakov, God is going to have mercy upon Yaakov. Oh, but there's going to be another time in history that Ubochar od b'Yisrael will choose Israel, and then there are going to be, as we said, the Ger will join them. Now, I tell you the Radak, and the fact is, the Radak asked the questions and gave the answer, and I believe Rashi meant precisely that, without asking question and answering. Listen to the words of Rashi. On the phrase, Ki Yerachem Hashem et Yaakov, God will have mercy on Yaakov, Lishmar Lahem, to keep for them, Haftachad Geulatam Miyad Babel. God is going to have mercy upon Yaakov, and he will therefore keep his promise to redeem them from Babel. Ubochar od b'Yisrael, on that phrase, the second phrase in the Pasuk Rashi says, La'atid yigalein gula shlema. In the future, he's going to redeem them, a complete redemption. So it's really Rashi and the Radak saying precisely the same thing. And by saying that, Rashi is, of course, answering all the questions that are going to pop up, because it seems the descriptions are given of things that never happened. Ulekachoma, that's a beautiful. Beautiful. Pasuk 2, and nations will take them, behaviyum and will come on and bring them to their place. V'hitnachalum Beit Yisrael al Admat Hashem, and the house of Israel will take possession upon the land of God. La'avodim l'shvachot, they're going to bring people whom they will. There are those who will come who will be servants and maidservants. V'hoyu shovim l'shoveim, they will be captives to the ones that have been their captives. But what the Rabbi is really talking about is not the Filipinos and Thailandian. Most probably at some point in time there are going to be Germans, you understand, and Poles. Romanians already is getting a little close, you know, but someday it'll be Germans and Poles who are going to be our or Palestinian terrorists. You understand? Palestinian terrorists. They will turn into captors over those who were their captors. Viradu, and they will rule over Noksehem, their taskmasters. In other words, those who caused them so much pain and suffering in history are the ones who are going to serve them. Now we continue with the description. It's going to be an amazing description of the fall of Babel and Nebuchadnezzar coming crumbling down. And it will come to pass beyond Haniach Hashem Lecha, when God is going to make things easier for you. And Rashi says we're talking about Israel. Haniach Lanuach, to rest. And what are you going to rest from? May Otzbecha Umirogzecha. Here I'd like some English translation. We're talking about two things. Otzev really is depression. Otzev. Yeah, but Otzev tail divanim, huh? Atzvut? Is that, despair is not a bad word.
Travail.
Travail is a very powerful word. Sinishtahin, sinishtaher. Sorrow? That's, alright. Despair, okay. Umirakzecha. Rogez is anger. The Malbim says that Otsev is usually, Atzvus is something one is said about something that's missing, a loss. Rogez refers to something that's happening to me now. Rogez, no. In other words, I feel Eitzev about the back of my car. You understand? And like, if there would be some problem, like somebody's getting ready to bang into my car, that would be Rogez. Otsev is on the past, and Rogez is on the present or the future. So therefore he says, Umin ha'avoda ha'kosha asher uvad bach. And you will also rest from the heavy work that had been done with you. I'm looking at something and I'm looking directly at something and I can't see it. Alright. When all of that happens, in a sense, when the dust has settled. In other words, when you're in the process of Eitzev, of despair, you don't have a head for anything. When there is Rogez, anger because of what's happening, you don't have a head for poetry. You'll see right away what he means. And then while you're in the middle of the heavy work, you know, it's enough. But on the day that Honiach Hashem Lecha, then, you know what will happen? The Nosata HaMashal HaZeh Al Melech Bavel. You will say this parable about the king of Babel, for Amarta, and you'll say the following. Eich shavat noges, shavita mad heva. Eich, a noges is a taskmaster. Eich shavat noges. How did it happen that the great taskmaster has been stopped, in a sense? Been laid to rest? How do they translate it in your... The oppressor, the noges... Huh? Deceased? Ceased. You know why he ceased? Because he deceased. Okay? How did it happen? We're going to wonder, how did this happen? How the mighty have fallen? How did the oppressor cease? Shavita Madheva. Madheva. A normal question, say, it comes from either great pride, it means, or it means great wealth, and all of them mean that. It means that was the description of the kingdom of Babel. It was a shining, brilliant kind of kingdom, you know, like flashing lights, great opulence. And all of this madheva, this gold, this gaiva, all of this shavata has come to an end. How did it happen? The answer, of course, is shavar Hashem, matei d'shoim, God has broken the staff of the evil, shevet moslim, the staff of those who rule. Now, there's only one answer to events in history. The answer to events in history is this is the act of God. What are you going to tell me? You're going to try and tell me stories that, well, there were economic, military, social reasons for the downfall of Babel. That you can say for a doctorate. But the truth is, God has broken the staff of the evil. Shevet Moslem. God has broken the staff of those who who rule. Makeh Amim B'Evra. In Pasuk Vav, it seems that he is describing who is the one that has been beaten down by God. You know, you see, the pasuk can be talking about God, or it can be talking about Babel. I think it's Babel. It's Babel. In other words, we now explain what the pasuk had referred to them as Rishayim. What was their resha? What was their evil? Makeh Amim B'Evra. Do you know what Babel did? Babel smote nations with great wrath. Makad Bilti Sarah. It was an endless, never turning away from smiting. He struck Babel, Babylon, struck nations time and time again. Rode Ba'av Goyim. He ruled with his anger over the nations. Murdof. Murdof. Beli chasach. Nations, many nations were pursued by Babel, beli chasach, without let up, not stopping. Doesn't stop. Lo chasachta, you didn't withhold your one and only child. Isn't that what Hashem told Avram by the Akedah? Yan asher lo chasachta et bincha yichidcha, you did not withhold your one and only son. Murdof. Pursued nations, beli chasach, without withholding. This is a description of the absolute evil of Babel. And here, I love this prophet. Nocha came to rest, shocked or called haaretz. The whole world became silent. Patzchu rina. They burst out in song. I think, I'll tell you what, that's Eov. Yeah, right, lo nachti. But you know what gets me in this pasuk? Here there have been the clash of swords and the infantry and bugles and fighting and screaming, the sounds of war. And it stops. It's quiet. I have a feeling the world is waiting for a few moments. Is it really over? And then the moment that it finally penetrates, that Babel, who has for 70 years ruled the world with such cruelty, Babel is finished. Patshurina, they burst out into song. There's sort of that waiting between the first half of the pasuk and the second. Like it's quiet. Shah, still, no sounds of war, no screams of the oppressed. Shh. It's true! It's true! Babel has been destroyed. Then Patzvulina. Gam Broshim Sanchu Lacha. The Broshim are also happy. Broshim, what kind of tree is that? Cypress. Huh? Cypress. Arzei Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. First of all, in the Moshel he's describing, nature is full of joy. Why? May Oz Shochavta, from the time, from then, that you are lying in your grave, Lo Ya'aleh HaKoreit Aleinu, the one who chops us down will not come up against us. In other words, he must have chopped down many trees in order to create his mighty force. That's the mashal. The nimshal is, the mighty leaders of nations will not be cut down anymore. They're also happy. In other words, in the first pasuk, the pasuk before, we're talking about a world, an oppressed world. I'm trying to remember. I don't know why this one comes out to me. When the Second World War was over. VE Day, and then VJ Day. VE Day cost me about 30, 40 comic books. Children tore up their comic books and threw them out of the windows. You have no idea. To walk through the streets of New York, you had to, like, schlep through. I mean, there were, I don't know how many millions of tons of paper just went. I imagine it must have been, you hear the news, you go through a state of disbelief, and then when you do believe it, it's finally Patschu Rina. And then already the joy begins to make its way through the world. The Broshim, the cypress, and the Arzei Lebanon represent the leadership of the world. Then, no more fear. Look, the next prophet, such a beautiful description. The Navi is describing how down in the depths of Gehenna, the grave, first, everybody in the graves, they're all shaking. Nebuchadnezzar is on the way. Sha'ol mitachat, the grave below. Rog zolecha, trembled likrat boecha, toward your coming. Oreh lecha refoyim, it sort of shook up all of the dead. Refoyim are really the dead giants. The refoyim are the dead giants. Kol atudei aretz. Atudei aretz are the rulers. The rulers of the world. Atudei aretz. Hekim mikisotam. They sort of get up from their thrones. Kol malchei goyim. All the nations, the kings of the world. By the way, this is all taking place below ground. Down in the netherworld of the grave, as Tutzach, they can't believe what's happening. He too, Nebuchadnezzar too, Bavel also is like one of us. Kulam Yanu v'yomru, all of them are going to lift their voices v'yomru elechem. They're going to say to you, Gam atachu leita. You've also been, in a sense, mortally wounded, ill. Come on, like us, Eleinu Nimshalta. You are equal to us. Take a look at that. The great equalizer of all is the grave. And all, and here's this amazing description of what's going on. You can make a beautiful scene of all sorts of ghosts floating around in white robes, and the news is coming. Bavel is on the way down. And they can't believe it. Hurad Sha'ol Go'necha. Your pride has been brought down into the grave. Hem Yad Nivalecha. The great sound of your harps. In other words, the great music that once accompanied the parties that the king of Bavel had. Tach. And you know what's going to happen to you? After it's all over, Tachtecha, below you, beneath you, you Tzar Rima, there will be a layer of worms, umechasecho toleo, and you will be covered by creepy critters. Like, that's the end. Like, you never thought that this would happen to you. And certainly the people down there, they're amazed that he said, what a description. Eich nafalta mishavayim, heilel ben shacha. How did you fall from the very heavens? Heilel ben Shacha. Heilel ben Shacha is a star that shines in the morning. The great
morning star. Nebuchadnezzar, morning star, is coming down over there. Nigdato, you are chopped down, cut down, la'aretz, to the earth. Cholei shalgoyim, who's the one that's been cut down? The one who rules over nations, cholacious to stand high above all nations. Look at what happened.
Vata Amarta, Bilavavcha, you know what you had said in your heart, Bavel? You know what you said? Hashomayim Ele, I'm going to make my way up to the heavens. Mimal Kotve El, above God's stars, Orim Kisi, I will raise my throne. Ve'eshev Bahar Moed, I am going to sit upon that appointed mountain, Yarkatei Tzafon, at the end of the north. You know what's referred to as Yarkatei Tzafon? Har Tzion, Yerushalayim, Binyan HaMikdash. He thought that that great throne is going to be his. Oh, next far, I can't carry it. The beauty of these psukim, it's making me crazy. E'ele al bomate av. I'm going to go up upon the heights of a cloud. Edamele elyon. I'm going to be like the Almighty. He thought that he wasn't just plain, what did they call king's right? Divine right? What? The divine right of kings. He saw himself as, the bubbles saw themselves as divine. And you know what's going to happen to the fella who thought he was going to be a cloud and be like the Almighty and fly above the very heavens? Ach El Sha'ol Turad, you will be brought down into the grave. God will be the last one who lets you down. El Yarkatei Bor, to the very ends of the pit. That's where you go. Ro'echo, those who see you, Eilecho Yashgichu, they're going to look carefully at you. Eilecho Yidbonanu, they're going to think about you. This is going to be a subject for a great deal of thought. And you know what they're going to say? Hazeh ha'ish, this is the man, Margiz ha'aretz, who caused the earth to tremble, Marish mamlachot, the one who caused such great tumult, such great noise over all kingdoms. And there he is, you know what it is? You know what he is? He's a boss of a dam. And he's not just a boss of a dam. He's a rosh boss of a dam. Yes.
Of
course, this is classic. Classic. You can put Saddam Hussein in over. I mean, Hitler, of course, was a megalomaniac. Unbelievable. These are psukim. You have to go over. I'm so thrilled that I have an opportunity to teach it. Like, I love these psukim. In Pasuk Yitzayin, you're the guy. You take a look at him. You're the fellow. Som Tevel Kamidbar. You're the one who made the world desolate like a desert. Boy, did you have a lot of power in your heyday. For Orav Haras, and he shattered, destroyed the cities of the world. And you know what they find as a terrible, terrible crime that he committed? Asirav Lo Patak Baita. The ones who were incarcerated in jail. Lo Patak Baita. He never opened up the jails to let somebody go home. He imprisoned people for nothing for a lifetime. Locked people up. Kol Malchei Goyim Kulam. All of the kings of all of the nations, Shavu B'Kavod, Ish B'Beito, each one lay with honor in his home. What does it mean, lay with honor? So Rashi tells us, you know what it means? Bebeito, in his home, bekivro, in his grave. Beito meaning, how do we call a cemetery? Beit Almin. And that's what Rashi says, Beit Almin. In other words, so they remained with the kavod, you know, the great Leviah and the great mausoleum or makom kavod, but not Nebuchadnezzar. Va'ato hashlachta mikivrecha kenetzer nitav. You were cast out of your grave. like a netzer, a sapling that is despised, ugly. In other words, like have a, what are you doing? You have a weed, you know, you pull the weed out and you, the Mefarshim bring Chazal that say that after Nebuchadnezzar died, so they wanted his son to take his place, and his son refused. Why? There's a perek in Daniel that describes that there was a period of some 7 years that Nebuchadnezzar turned into an animal. We learned about it. He lived with the animals of the field. It was an amazing story that's told there. During that time, his son took over as king. After 7 years, he returns, and you know what he does? He takes his own son and throws him into jail. When he finally dies, the son is afraid to take over the throne again. They take him out of prison. He's afraid to take over the throne. He says, with this guy, I don't know what's going to happen. He may come back another few years from now, and I'm going to be in trouble again. He doesn't want. In order to prove to him that his father was really dead, they opened up the grave, and they threw him out onto the ground, so the son should be able to see that his evil father is indeed dead. You were thrown out of your grave, like a despised, a rejected, a disgusting growth. Harugim mitoanei charev. Those who had been killed, who carried the sword in them. Your day el avnei bor kefeger muvas. What he's saying is, you were thrown out, and levush harugim. When he was thrown out of the grave, he was dressed in the garments of people who've been killed, run through by the sword. In other words, the garments that he wore were garments that looked like people who had been run through by the sword. What he's saying is that when they took him out of the grave, the body looked like levush harugim, dressed like those who were killed with toanei chorev, who had held a sword in them. Your day el avnei bor, those who go down like a stone into the pit, kefeger muvas. A feger is a gepeget, what he is? A carcass that has been, muvas means that it has been, crushed, trodden on. Yes, we'll see this word yet again. We're going to come up. Lahavis. Yes, we'll come up with that word again. Which means, therefore, lo techad itam bikvura. Even when you come down to the grave, you're not going to be echad, like one with the other kings of the world, who at least have a pleasant, dignified rest in the grave. You're not going to be lo techad itam bikvura. And it's amazing what the Navi says, and this is true of every dictator. Ki artzecha shichata. Not only did you cause such great pain to the nations of the world, your own land you destroyed. Amcha harokta. You killed your own people. Lo yikare la'olam. Lo yikare la'olam zera medayim. You will never have children who are going to rule, because ultimately the enemy is going to destroy, having destroyed you, is going to destroy them again. Rashi says, V'av bonecha yilaku b'avonecha. Your children are also going to suffer because of your sins. V'lo yitkaimu acharecha yamim rabim. They're not going to last many days after you. Ki yitchabru aleim sonecha. Those who hate you are going to join and destroy them. And you know what they're going to say one to another? Hachinu netzpasek, hachinu levanav. Prepared for his sons a slaughter because of the sins of their fathers. Bal yakumu, you know why? They should not arise for Yerushu Oretz and inherit the land. We want to be rid of that family because we're afraid another one is going to rise like Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what will happen? Umalu pnei tevel orim. They will fill the entire world with... Now the word orim is a fascinating word. It comes... a good number of times in Tanakh. And the first instinct, of course, is to translate it. Cities. Doesn't mean cities. An or is an enemy. And there are a number of places in Tanakh where this is used. The world would be full of enemies. There will be hatred in the world. We don't want there his children.
What an
unbelievable description.
Is this
Amalek? Amalek or a Hitler or Japan or... And therefore the next pasuk says, up until now, who's been speaking up until now? The nations of the world. Those who are down in the grave. I will rise up against them, says the God of hosts. And I will destroy, I will cut out from Babel. Shame. The name will no longer exist. Usha'or, a remnant. Venin, vonechet. By the way, in Tanakh, you know what the word nin means? Ben. We use nin as being a great grandchild. Take a look at the way it's written here. I will destroy from Babel shame. The name Babel will cease to exist. Ushaar, any remnant. The nin vonechet. What comes before neched? Neched is definitely a grandson. Nin, therefore, is a son. Rashi says, Nin ben Moshel b'malchut aviv, a son who rules in the kingdom of his father. V'neched, Rashi says on the neched, ben haben, a son of a son, a grandson. And he goes on to say, Nin ze Belshazzar. Nin was Belshazzar. Who is the neched? Zuvashti. You know what it means over here? That the destruction of Vashti is already foreseen by the death of Vashti is already foreseen by Yeshayahu, and it has to happen. It's not Achashverosh who does it; it's all part of a divine plan. Achashverosh and Haman turn out to be the arm, the instrument, the vehicle, the means. But the destruction of Vashti, her death, is the end of an evil, evil empire that brought death, destruction, and terror to the entire ancient world. For 70 years they ruled. The Om Hashem, so says God. The Samti al Marash Kipod Vagme Mayim. He's going back to the descriptions that came at the end of chapter 13 of all the wild animals, the hyenas, the jackals, the owls that are going to inhabit. A hedgehog is a... And what does your English say?
Wild.
Who? Wild birds. Oh, that's an easy way to get out of that. Rashi seems to say, Heron, then all right. And so it will be a place for wild birds, va'agme mayim, and marshes of water, v'tei teisiha b'matatei hashmeid. What a description. I will sweep her away with a broom. Hashmeid, complete destruction. In other words, nothing is left afterwards. You give us sweep away? Nu'um Hashem Tzvakot, says the God of hosts. How many times in these psukim have you had Hashem Tzvakot? It all fits in, and it really from the beginning of chapter 13 through here, it all fits in with the description that we gave last week, that Hashem Tzvakos represents the God of power and anger and din. And the classic example was that pasuk in chapter 13 that says the nations are gathering to war against Babel, and who is the commander? Mefaked. So Hashem Tzvakot is the Mefaked. When the death and the destruction of the evil empire of Babel comes, it's the work of Hashem Tzvakot. Nishba Hashem Tzvakot Leimor, the God of hosts swears, saying, Im lo kasher dimiti kein hayata, the kasher ya'atzti hi takum.
I swear that as I had thought Cain Hayata, though it was, so it was, and Rashi explains beautifully, what I had thought about Ashur. Remember, we have over here one following the other, chapters 8, 9, 10 are the destruction of the Assyrian Empire. By who? By Nebuchadnezzar. The fool didn't see that what happened to the empire before him, and he was the instrument who brought about the destruction of the empire. He never thinks it can happen to him. Imlo kasher dimiti, as I imagined it to be, the destruction of Ashur, Kain Hayata, the chasher ya'atzti, and as I had advised and given counsel, he takum. That's what's going to be. So Rashi says, Atam Nebuchadnezzar, you Nebuchadnezzar, ra'ito shenit kaimu divnei nevi'e Yisrael v'Sancherem. You saw that what the prophets had said about Sancherem had been fulfilled. You saw it with your own eyes. So you better know the same thing can happen. You should have known that the same thing can happen to you. How does Rashi know that that's the pshat? Because Rashi knew the next pasuk. As I had thought it would be, I thought what would be? Lishbor Ashur Barzi, to break Ashur in my land. Where's the fall of Ashur? Where does its destruction begin? Right in Eretz Yisrael, right out around Yerushalayim. Va'al horay avul senu. This is where I said the word is going to come up again. Peger muvas al horay, upon my mountains. Avul senu, I will crush him. Or avul senu is also a word that's used as defeat. An army that's defeated is muvas. It may very well muvas because it's crushed. V'sar me'aleim ulo, and you know, and when Ashur was broken in Eretz Yisrael, v'sar me'aleim ulo, so his yoke was removed from upon them. V'subalo, and the heavy burden me'al shichmo yasur is removed from upon the shoulder of the Jewish people. By the destruction of Ashur, there was removed the yoke. Zot ha'itzah yu'utzah al kol ha'aretz v'zot ha'yad ha'netuyah al kol ha'goyim. So what you had better learn is exactly what was done to Ashur is going to happen to all of the evil of this world. Zot ha'itzah, this is the counsel of God, ha'yu'utzah al kol ha'aretz, whose counsel goes out to all of the all of the lands on the face of this earth. V'zoz tayad hanetuyah, and this is the hand of God that is outstretched, al kol hagoyim, upon all nations. And Rashi so succinctly says, al Ashur b'shato, v'al Babel b'shato, on Ashur in his time, and on Babel in his time. Babel should have learned from Ashur. Ki Hashem tzvakot ya'atz, because the God of hosts has counseled so, umi yofer, who can shatter or break that? V'yado hanetuya, and his hand is outstretched, umi yeshivena, who's going to bring his hand back? Who can do this? I'm telling you, okay, there are going to be another two chapters that are going to be, the next one is going to deal with the, beginning from here, is going to deal with the fall of Plishtim. Chapter 15 is going to be Moab, the nations of the world. I mean, the descriptions are so powerful. The pictures that are painted by the Navi are very, very beautiful. Ah, you know, it took the kishkes out of me this one.